Let's see if Damon is ready to go a minute early.
That's a miracle.
For the first time in Dome Patrol podcast history, we actually not only started on time, but we are starting early.
Just 2 days late.
All right, we're technically 48 hours late. Well, I guess it would be nice.
What's up, Udat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero tonight. So after playoff contention is finally put to rest, officially, the Saints decide to do what they apparently are now known for. Finishing strong when there's nothing at stake.
And drafting 18th when they could have been drafting 10th.
Right. So I guess the good news is that we at least have a locker room full of guys who actually want to win, but perhaps this year was just missing a few pieces here and there, and of course all the other shit we've been bitching about for the last 2 years. Now, let's not dwell on negativity, because it's been a long year, and I'm counting all the way back to 12 months, 13, 14, 15 months back. We may have one game left, and this one's going to be a big one and a good one. And that's what she said. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy this week's show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I go with the one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really prepping myself, setting myself up for next week. Like I said, next week I want to have a big number. So
you're going balls out.
May as well, right? End of the season, and we got the Falcons, the last game in the Georgia Dome. I feel like it's, you know.
Might have to end up being a Sunday night recording.
We'll see. Sunday night, Monday, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm off Monday anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, that's true. It's New Year's night, so I don't know if you're going to be hung over when you watch the game. Anyway, we'll talk about that in Saints preview. But Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling happy, Jeff.
Oh, all right.
Oh, he sounds jolly, like Santa Claus.
You ever notice that ever since we decided to do the how you feeling, there's not really been a whole lot of pissed offness.
No, wow.
Things to be pissed about.
No, not at all. I mean, like you said, there's no fighting this. You know, there's no quitting this team. And didn't we do the same thing? I know we did, but you know, we did the same thing last year. After we're out of it, they strung together a bunch of wins. So if we had like a 20 game season, we'd make the playoffs.
Yeah, we'd be starting to peak at the right time.
Exactly, we would peak at the right time and probably win the Super Bowl.
Maybe we should start the Saints should start their whole activities maybe a month early next year.
Yeah, I think we make all the preseason games
in July.
Regularly. You know,
yeah.
Start counts.
Well, no. Let's not make them count because we went 0-4 in preseason the last 2 years.
Well, it's funny how well we play. I mean, we don't have kicking issues anymore.
Well, you know, Coach Payton addressed that in this press conference.
Well, let's quickly get into game recap.
Man, the game's so long ago, I almost forgot.
Well, again, it was a nice game. You know, all the true fans were there. I was in attendance, of course.
Right.
Jason was probably there because he's a season ticket holder.
My tickets were used, yes. They were.
So you win. That's good. I'm glad, you know. Your tickets were paid for, so that doesn't, you know. But did you use them?
The seat was not empty.
Did your ass in
the seat? Was there a Saints fan in them?
Yes, there absolutely was a Saints fan.
Was his name Jason?
No, it was not.
It wasn't.
Oh, we talked about this last week.
At least he put a Saints fan in the seat.
Right, I didn't sell him to the highest bidder. I gave them away to a Saints
needy
fan.
You gave them to a needy child who had never been to a Saints game, and whose lifelong dream was to go to a Saints game, and it was his dying wish.
Not even close.
Not wait.
Not even close.
Fuck the Falcons and myself. We gave our tickets to another guy, Raph at 642 on Twitter. He used four tickets.
Well, wait a minute.
But it was a Saint.
Mike didn't go to the game.
No, we had
typical.
Because of the stupid fucking flex. Typical. If it was at noon, I would have gone.
I went.
10-6 didn't go.
Nah, typical. Typical of the fans up at the top, you know.
Right.
They're not invested. Not invested.
I bet there were more people.
Not invested.
I will say
the snooty section.
I will say it sounded like the crowd was louder for this game than they have in quite a few games on TV.
But later the game, always a bit, you know, more time to
get drunk,
have a couple of cocktails, right?
I guess that's what happened. Plus, it was Christmas. I guess everybody was in a festive mood.
And we were winning. That helps, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Out of the game.
Well, I did something different this week. Going to the game.
Tailgate?
No. As some of y'all might know, my mother is in a wheelchair.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, and I hadn't taken her to a game, God, in years, I guess, since Doug started going with me and he started buying the other ticket. So it's been 16 years. And in that subsequent time, you know, she had a stroke, he's in a wheelchair. But anyway, so I always wondered how you would go to a game in a wheelchair. Now, I've seen the people down on the floor. Jason, I'm sure you've seen that too, you know, down on the field in a corner, you know, they have spaces for wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And I thought, I said, well, you know, I've never seen anybody in a wheelchair as we walk to the dome and go up and all that. So I said, well, I wonder how it'll work. So I called the Saints. They have a very, very easy process. If you have tickets, you just exchange them, and they give you the tickets where the handicap section.
Hmm.
And so we got there. I did my normal routine where I parked and all that. I saw more people in wheelchairs in this game. Like I said, I swear to you, I haven't ever seen anyone walk up to the dome in a wheelchair.
You didn't think because they have their own entrance, right?
No. We went right through, you know, because it was easier where my tickets were on the opponent side. So when you come in through gate C, I mean, literally just walked through the door, went straight, and they're right there.
But, you know, you say that, you're right. I don't, like me going to the game, I don't know, I don't recall seeing people in wheelchairs going in either.
Jason, I swear to you, I saw five other people in wheelchairs. And you're right, I have never seen it before. So maybe, you know, maybe it's a coincidence. Or maybe I was just looking for it now. I don't know.
Maybe, you're going in the same place where the other wheelchair people go.
Right, but he walks in gate C. I go in gate C. I don't see anything.
But at the
right,
time, maybe he went at the, maybe wheelchair people get there at a different time than you.
I think it was just a day of Christmas miracles.
Maybe so. But I'm telling you, these are great seats. And what you do when it's the very top of the plaza, okay? And what is it? They have it roped off, so just, you know, people in wheelchairs can go. And you put the person in a wheelchair. Then they have these incredibly comfortable, fold-out padded chairs with a, I'm telling you, I had more room than I do in the club. I mean, it was nice.
Getting a wheelchair and...
I was going to say, Renee and I should start going to the games and put myself in a wheelchair.
You're in a wheelchair, go right there, you know. I might start taking my mom's scooter. Don't have to walk.
Mom, I need you to come to the game. I don't want to go to the game.
But anyway, but it was very nice. You know, the dome does a very... I was just happy. Look, for people who have, you know, disabilities, or it's a very nice thing, especially that they give them such great seats. I mean, I think it's... I think it was awesome. And again, it was the people around us were great.
And, class act, Superdome.
Yeah, really. We're the Saints or whoever responsible. But so I saw the game from a different, you know, from a different perspective than I'm used to, obviously. And it was fun. I had a great time. Again, the Saints winning sure did help.
All right. So speaking of the game itself, meaningless game, but not necessarily, because it's not at least a division. Tampa Bay, and
it might have been meaningless for us, but it wasn't meaningless for Tampa Bay.
That's true.
You know,
and it was fun to play. Spoiler.
Yeah, we hit in their hat. You know,
and then gave it to him.
And they gave it to him, put it on their head. We hit their hat and said, here you go, stay home.
You know? So Ingram had a good day.
Ingram is just becoming, I mean, what we need. He's running hard. He's passionate. You know, the funny thing, though, with Ingram, and tell me, this is what I think I've noticed at least, it looks like when he runs, or most any run, they're running behind Streif and Evans.
Yeah, yeah, they are. They have.
They're running behind the two oldest people on the field, you know, besides Drew Brees.
Well, granted, Armstead's hurt.
Out.
He's out. I mean, right. But you got Pete and Lolito.
Is Kelemente playing left? Or Lolito? I mean, I know Kelemente got dinged up last game, so maybe it was Lolito playing.
But those are the younger guys. Those are the younger guys on the left side. I don't know. I found it interesting.
Streif is having one of his, if not his best season ever.
It seems like you say this every year about Streif. Like, we all hate him, but then the Pro Football Focus or whoever is like, man, Streif is playing great this year. One of the best seasons ever had.
Hey, if he continues, I like that. I want to say every year that it's better than the previous. If that's the case. I mean, look, last year we complained a lot about Streif. And maybe we don't know enough to know if we were right to complain about him or not. But this year, he is...
We just like to complain.
We're looking. We got to blame somebody, and he seemed to be a turnstile. Too many times. If we notice it, you know, he's doing something. But this year, he's pulling his weight. He's not letting anybody through, and maybe having Evans back next to him.
Boy, what would we have done without Seattle releasing Evans this year?
No doubt. I mean, how did we not see this? And I don't... I'm glad he came back, but...
He was... You know, he did play injured last year.
Right. Why did we know that? Look, because of the way the schedule was last week with Christmas, I think it was Thursday night or Monday, whatever night the Philadelphia played, you know. I sit there and I watch Malcolm Jenkins. I know you say we ain't gonna bitch, but I'm gonna bitch a little bit. Okay, you know, but we watch Malcolm Jenkins get two interceptions, one for a pick six, and then Darren Sproles, of course, you know, rolling and doing. And it's just like, really, guys.
Well, I mean, Jenkins wasn't doing that here. You know, Jenkins. Look, we all wanted him gone. Jenkins was not doing that here.
No, you're right. And
but it wasn't his fault, apparently.
And hold on. I've mentioned this before, and Jenkins has said it. If he admits that he wasn't doing the right things here as far as film study and practice. I mean, that comes from Jenkins' mouth, right? You know, right when he went to Philadelphia.
Kind of happens when you win the Super Bowl your first year in the league.
Right, you're right. He was got a little too lax and being...
Yeah, but why would he be allowed even to take the slough?
The easy... Right, I don't know. I mean... I guess it's the old "you can lead a horse to water, but can't make him drink." You know,
but
the coach can tell him what to do all the time. But if he's not doing it,
maybe that speaks to our defensive issues we've had the last X number of years. Is that the defense has been allowed to slough off in the room?
Well, we've had poor coaching, and I mean, look at—he's catching all these balls. I mean, how many balls Malcolm Jenkins would just hit his hands and just fall to the ground?
Right. But again, but not that, but he's making interceptions. He is.
Like, he leads the league in pick sixes since.
Insane.
Well, he learned from Sharper. I just hope this doesn't mean that he's going to go and, you know, pull that shit with women.
Let's hope he only learns on the field stuff from Sharper, not all. Right.
Or the therapist.
But that's it. Obviously, people were frustrated when you saw that happen, but look, Sproles was getting injured and wasn't doing the same, and Jenkins just wasn't that. Jenkins wasn't this before with us.
But he was still young, obviously, because we only had him for his first contract. So
but
he was
still young, very, but we
you know,
were ready to move different. On. The fans were ready.
You can't play that game either. You can't sit there and say, you know, if we'd have kept him, he would have done this. It's not that easy. You know that. It's you're a product of the environment, too. And who's to say that he ever would have been the guy that he is today had he stayed with the Saints either? I mean.
Yeah, I'm going to say that.
Okay.
I'm going to say it.
Well, we did have some poor talent evaluation during that time.
Right, you know. But the man who we signed to replace him sure did show up Sunday.
Yeah, he had two picks himself this week. How about that?
And who was that?
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Oh, well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird, a word, well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird, a word, well, a bird, bird, bird.
And I know, like, the first pick was pretty easy. It was thrown up there. But that second pick, he made a great play on the ball to get that second pick.
And he
really I don't care if it's easy, Jason. The fact that he didn't fuck it up is also good. Right? That's, but he deserves credit for that.
He's been tackling better.
Ever since Vaccaro called him out.
Ooh, yeah, you're kind of true there. Now, something that I read and I had noticed also is they're kind of using him sort of like a... I've noticed him playing closer to the line of scrimmage over the last... I don't know how many games, guys. Eight, maybe.
Oh, you mean he's not playing back on Gerrard Street?
Right. Right, right. But haven't you... I'm not the only one to notice that, correct?
No. I've noticed it, too.
You know, so maybe they're using him correctly. Maybe, I don't know, something clicked.
That's called coaching. Dennis Allen.
Yeah, he actually hasn't sucked.
Let's hope so. But it definitely...
it's to the point where you want to keep him now?
Well, he's a sunk cost at this point. I think it doesn't do him any good to cut him now. I mean, if you come back next year with him, Bell, and Vaccaro as our three safeties...
And that's the other thing I was going to ask, is how much of Bell and his presence has contributed to the improvement of Bert?
Bell has some good spots, but he still makes rookie mistakes. He's got burned a couple times in the last couple games.
Like you said, he's a rookie.
Right, but I like opening up Bird's game, I'm saying, because when Bird wasn't doing good, Bell was not on the field.
No, but Vaccaro was in his place. I mean,
yeah,
Vaccaro out, Bell's forced to play more. But I like that he's getting this experience. It should help Bell, because I like Bell. I think he's going to be a solid player. That's good for him going forward, getting a lot of playing time in the season.
No, absolutely. But that was nice to run to watch Sunday, like you said, or Saturday. Saturday, I might say.
Yeah.
And Mark Ingram, he is. I'm gonna look it up and I'll tell you to you in a second. But you know, I think he's averaging 5.2 yards a carry.
Yeah, isn't that leading at least the NFC, if not the league, right?
I would think that probably. I know Le'Veon Bell's been going nuts this year, and David Johnson's got his.
Right, but that's the kind of back that the New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton offense, needs. Because you're not going to get 30 carries, okay? Like Ezekiel Elliott's getting. No running back going to get 30 carries in a Sean Payton system. So you need somebody that makes the most out of what they get. And Ingram has been doing that this year, and so has Hightower.
So then, right, for all those people who... You know, last week and us even discussing it included about the draft and like, do you try to get another running back in the draft?
Absolutely not.
It's absolutely not.
Well, right? I mean, if I wouldn't mind getting Christian McCaffrey if the spot is right as a scat back.
I'm a scat man.
That is still something that we need.
Yes, we do need a scat back, 100%.
I mean, if they pick 16th or 18th or whatever, would I spend that pick on McCaffrey? I mean, I think there are still issues other way, cornerback or defensive end, but...
Right, I mean, I wouldn't trade up to get Fournette, you know, I mean...
You would not, you're saying?
I would not.
No, I wouldn't either.
No. We have what we need, and... Right, we don't have that scat back, and PT, he was more of the running back, you know, when he was here, you know, more so than Reggie Bush or Sproles. But he also had very good hands out the backfield and was...
He was the best screen-catching running back.
Insane. He was an insane screen-catching running back.
Kind of spoiled us on that.
We
get pissed off whenever a screen doesn't go for 20 yards.
Right. Pierre Thomas got a screen. It was like you said, right, going for 20 yards, going for a touchdown. he's done. I guess it's just vision and you using your own.
Yeah.
Using your blockers. But anyway, back to Saturday. So, you know, those two guys. And then Drew is fucking Drew.
Yeah. Yeah, he's now he's only 146 away from another 5,000 season. His fifth 5,000-yard season.
Right. Yeah, there has been 9 5,000-yard seasons in the history of the NFL. Drew Brees has 5 of them. Well, there will be.
Well, he's
there will be. Some,
that'll be the.
There will be, and nobody else has more than one.
Right. No one else has more than one. Now look. Now I'll kind of look. But when Marino did it in '84.
I agree. It was different.
You know, it'd be like Brees throwing for 6,000 yards or 7, you know what I mean? But
yes, but 5 of the 9.
Oh, no, it's still great. I mean, it's still like no, I'm not trying to take anything away from Brees.
Yeah, then shut up.
But it is, Marino, Marino's.
What you're really saying is you're not trying to discount what the one season.
Right, what Marino, did.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, so then let's get back to the game itself. Is anybody else stand out to you? Ellerby had a good game.
I love Rankins. I think Rankins still proven that. I think Rankins is going to end up being a dynamite of a draft pick for us.
Definitely.
But, we can get a full season out of him. You know, that usually players make a lot of improvement from that first season to the next, considering he's only played in half the games, or will have played basically just half the games this year. I think that's a home run. I can't wait to see him get better and see the disruption he can cause.
All right.
I mean, the team just played well. Everybody, you know, the wide receivers were there. Brandon Cook missed a couple of balls. Snead dropped, you know,
at least
one, if not two. That's, you know. Well, but look, when I say they dropped balls for that they didn't. I'm not talking about contested balls. They dropped balls that they should have caught.
They should have caught.
Yeah, that was the one gripe everybody had.
Right. I mean, it's something they got to clean up, and I don't know how you do it, but hopefully, Coach Payton.
Well, maybe that's just maybe a lack of focus. Seasons.
Right.
You know, the playoffs are out because you know we didn't with all the games happening early. It was right before kickoff where we realized okay, we're officially even though we knew we were out of it. Mathematically, they were alive up until
right.
And then the other thing I'll ask is, you know, everybody's still riding Brandon Cooks pretty hard about the businessman stuff. I mean, is that going to be his whole, you know, you fuck one goat?
Yep,
for the rest of his life.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean?
It is. Yes, it is.
I mean, look, unless he goes out next year and catches 1,600 yards and 15 touchdowns,
well, he's still going to be the businessman. But it'll be a good businessman. Businessman. Right. You got to go see the businessman.
But every time he screws up, something simple. You know, yeah, he's going to be the businessman. It kind of makes you feel.
And is that? Let me play devil's advocate. Is it really fair? I mean, he's a kid. Who said one thing on Twitter in frustration?
Life isn't fair, Jeff. You of everybody should know that.
Look, I'm personally willing to look past it because I don't want him going anywhere. He's a good wide receiver. He's good with this. He's going to be a nice. Him and Michael Thomas are going to make a dynamic.
I don't want us to be. Yes, like, I don't want us to hate on our play. One of our best.
No, it's not hate. It's you said something stupid.
It's ribbon.
I'm going to keep right. It's a you said something stupid, and you're going to be reminded of it, so you won't say anything stupid again.
Okay.
Now we try that with you, Jeff, and it just doesn't work.
I was going to. Maybe that's why I didn't know.
Fails every time.
Fails every time with you. It goes right over your head. Don't.
All right, and with that, we're going to move into...
One more thing.
One more comment about the game.
One more about the game. Coach Payton became...
Two more things. Yeah, you go ahead.
Coach Payton became the winningest coach in Saints history with 94 regular season wins and 100...
Passed Jim Mora.
Total.
Right. He passed his Coach Mora as the winningest coach in Saints history.
Congratulations, Coach Payton. Well-deserved.
Right. Now, we'd have had this last year if 2012 didn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
but still,
did he do it quicker than Jim Mora, right?
How many?
This is technically his 10th year of coaching. How long was Mora here?
10 total.
Yeah, 10 and a half, wasn't it?
10 and a half because he quit.
He quit midway through the 2006. Right. He quit midway through the. So he's a half season quicker than Mora.
Okay, and you would think so, considering some of the well, I don't know, because the 13-3 Mora had what seemed to be
Mora had a lot of winning. See, he just
Mora had,
yeah, he had right, some 13-3 year, didn't or 12? No, he had a 12-3,
couple of 12-4, 12-3. Yeah, you know. Just couldn't get, you know, those, remember those Coach Moore teams were some good teams.
Yeah.
Very good team.
They sure were.
Just couldn't get over the hump. Just couldn't get over the hump. But congratulations to Coach Payton.
That's right. And, which then brings up the whole point, which I was going to say for headlines. So we'll save for headlines. We'll save for headlines.
Yeah, yeah. The rumors.
Yes. That'll come in headlines.
I got a big rant on that.
So the last thing I will point out for the game, you guys wanted me to make a note in the agenda for this. About the fans doing the wave during the game while the Saints have the ball on 3rd and 10.
Oh.
So dumb.
It's such an important down. It was late in the game. I believe it was the fourth quarter. We're trying, you know, and these idiots doing the wave. You fucking morons. You don't, you know, you fucking morons.
Would you must have been the upper deck.
Definitely the upper deck and the lower deck.
Hey.
And the lower deck.
But, right. The middle deck never gets up anyway, so what the hell? They weren't standing for that. But
our butlers do the wave for us.
Right. But it just pisses you. It pisses me off as a fan who, you know, I'm not Bill Parcells, but I understand the game, you know, and home field advantage is so when you're on offense, you know, you have a little quieter time. You can, and these fuckers, I mean, come on, guys, and now look, it doesn't, you know, doesn't bother
that professionals. Loud.
Right, does it bother professionals like Drew Brees? And you know, no, of course, no, it doesn't. He can play under anything, but it's still just stupid to do.
Well, that the other thing is, you like, know? Why you're paying more? These people are paying more attention to the wave than they are the game.
Yeah. Right, and look, that game was never over until the fourth quarter. We got that left. Right, it was never over. You know, yeah, you know,
with this team.
I remember the Cardinals game in 2009, you know, the playoff game, you know. Yeah, after halftime, I was so drunk, I knew nothing that was going on. I had to watch the second half the day after.
Plus, that's like, you know, like, you know, we were up 20-something points. Well, like, okay, well, you could do the wave now. We're up 20-something points.
Exactly. No, that's my point, right? We were so far up, I was just drunker than shit, and then I just kept getting drunk, and, you know, because I was excited. But come on,
and,
guys.
And look, people doing a wave is kind of the same thing. When I go to the Pelicans game and Davis goes to the free throw line and the crowd just starts screaming MVP, like, the guy's shooting a free throw. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
And let him shoot his goddamn free throw. Like, I get, we all love him. He's putting up crazy stats. Shut up.
It's probably the same people that wear LSU shirts to Saints games.
Of course it is. People are dumb. It's the fucking, you know, like, we're the fucking 10%. It's the fucking 85%, 90%. People are stupid.
Right. This is not news, though.
90% are stupid or 90% are smart?
Stupid.
I agree with that.
Okay, now that's going to take us into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And the main headline we've got is, yes, the rumors of linking Sean Payton to the Rams, saying he's their sincere interest, and then when you actually click the clickbait and read the article, it's completely made up. They just say sources from the Saints have mentioned that Sean Payton is considered for the Rams, and he's not.
He's going to be considered for every job, the Buffalo job, that, you know, every job that's open, Payton's going to be linked to it somehow.
Right. If you have a rant, Jason, I'll let you go first, and then I'll.
I mean, I don't ever. It's the same shit every year, and every year it gets proven wrong. And like these fucking reporters just throw shit against the wall to see what sticks. Even one of them even mentioned, "Oh, Ron Rivera is on the hot seat. He's my like, get the fuck out of here, man."
It was the same idiot, Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, fucking
Rappaport. He is a fucking moron.
Rappaport,
you know,
they're shit starters.
No, they're clickbaiters.
They're clickbaiters. That's all.
That's all they are. Oh, Sean Payton. Oh, Sean Payton. You know, look, the only reason Sean Payton would consider the Rams job is so he could fire Greg Williams again. Okay?
That's the best line of the show.
Okay? That's it. So he could go and tell Greg Williams, fuck you, you're gone. I mean, but other than that, you know, and what they said, well, you know.
Do you know what Rappaport said in his stupid article? I can't believe I'm ashamed that I read it. But I had to see what he was saying about it. he said links it.
No, you didn't. It's the same shit every year. You don't have to see that.
You're
shit.
Right.
Well, I want to know what the fuck they're saying this year. He right. says that, oh, Sean Payton is seriously considering California. Why? Right. Because his daughter lives there. You're right. I'm going right. to change. I'm going to make uproot my life because my daughter's going to college in a different state than where
well,
I live.
Hold on.
Jeff, yeah, they said the same thing last year.
Wait a second. I was going to bring that up because this is my counter to that. He has a son that lives in Dallas.
Right.
Does he not love his son?
Right.
You know, right. does he love the daughter more than the son?
According
that
to
is
Ian
a
Rappaport.
Stupid fucking argument.
But that's a stupid reason for anybody to do any coaching change like that.
Right. The whole thing is stupid. That's why you shouldn't have read it. Jeff fails every time.
the man makes $9 million plus God knows the endorsements and the use of his likeness. The man's making $10, $11 million a year.
Plus he has all the control inside this building.
Well, but I'm saying, if you want to see his family, he can fly there. A lot easier than any of us can, okay? Or fly them to him, you know? again, and during the season, it's, and especially Sean Payton, we've already, you know, he's putting in 18-hour days. I mean, it's clickbait. It's ridiculous.
Well, but it's also, it's irresponsible journalism. And I use the term journalism lightly, because it's not even journalism.
Welcome to the 2000s.
I know, but these guys are supposed to be above that.
No,
they're
all shitbags.
They are.
They're all shitbags with their clicks, and oh, they try to break. And again, it's they're like, well, you know, just like we don't go back to a weatherman and say, hey, you retard, you told me it was going to rain yesterday, and it didn't.
I'm going to quit watching you.
Right, and tomorrow's supposed to be sunny, and I'm soaking wet, you know. But these people, they never go back and
they're never accountable. They're not accountable.
Right. They're never accountable for how wrong they are and how stupid.
Right.
It is
that, and well, and it's but the worst thing.
And the problem is, Jeff.
90% of the people believe it.
Well, the problem is, you clicked on it. So he did his job. You clicked on it. You fucking helped him. All you had to do was not click on it.
But at least I don't believe it.
Who cares? You still clicked on it. He doesn't care if you believe it or not.
True,
he just wants you to click on it, and you know what? You did.
That's right. Thanks for stopping
by. And you just wasted 5 minutes talking about it.
Ugh, fuck. All right, other
headline. Fails again!
All right, other headline is... All right, so the question is... I'm going to skip NFL reach around, just kind of include it in headlines then, because I only have one. Marvin Lewis retiring at the end of the season.
Well, but then the report came out that said that he was planning to come back, so...
Okay, so that's another piece of clickbait.
Well, I don't know what to believe, but how about the Ryan brothers got fired?
There you go.
Yeah, who didn't see that coming?
Right.
The Ryan brothers.
Yeah. does anybody give them another chance?
I mean,
Rob, yeah, no, not in the NFL. Rex could get a defensive coordinator job, or he could just go to TV. I think that's where he ends up.
Well, I think Rob would be better for TV than Rex.
I don't agree. I think Rex is better for TV than Rob.
I don't think Rob would be able to fit in the suit.
Rex has more personality. I mean, look at his press conferences, especially when
the other one does, and I think
they both do.
I think y'all are fat shaming here. I really do.
Maybe Rex, maybe Rob could go get a college job somewhere. I think that could work.
But again, as a coordinator,
as a coordinator, yeah, not a head coach. No, as a coordinator.
Yeah, as a coordinator.
Well, he's never had a head job, but he's not getting a head job.
Well, that's what she said.
Maybe.
Damn.
No. The other thing is right. Rob, when he got fired from the Saints, didn't he talk shit about us and Sean Payton?
Yeah.
About how he wasn't the problem and all that, right, or something.
Yeah,
I'd like somebody to bring those comments back and put a microphone and have him answer to that, because it doesn't seem like it seems like Buffalo was the same story.
Well, you knew it
in Dallas before us,
right?
Earlier this season, you know, Buffalo lost a game and they fired the offensive coordinator despite the fact that it was the defense that gave up 35 or 40 points, and offense was fine, but they used him they fired the offensive coordinator for some reason.
Right. Well, I mean, you're not going to fire your brother. I mean, that's, you know, they were a package deal.
You're going to take him to dinner, play some old lifeguard songs.
Yeah.
All right. That's our headlines. Let's get into Look at Him tweets. And got a few tweets during the game, but they're outdated now, so sorry guys, I'm not going to read those too much, except for one from Life of Ty, reference to something we've already talked about. Another business drop from Cooks. And that's kind of what I mean by that, that we're obviously going to ride him for years to come.
He's
forever known as the businessman because of that.
That's right, he said something stupid and he's going to pay for it. We talked about that.
Yep. All right, so then Dad to Twins did also say during the game, where the hell has this bird been since he came to town? # earning his money when it doesn't matter.
Well, he's finally doing something.
Yeah, I'd rather see him do something than nothing.
Yeah, continue to do what he's done before.
But what he's been doing.
All right, then we got a Life of Ty saying, off-season to-do list, re-sign Fairly. And keep Bird on whatever drug he started doing about a month ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fairly, which we didn't even talk about during the game recap.
Right.
We talked about him during the season. He's been great.
He did address it.
He addressed it and said that we'll talk about it in the offseason.
And look, I mean, he's going to cost a lot. I know we got cap room, but he is definitely going to cost... He's going to get a nice contract this offseason, whether it's from us or somebody else.
He earned it, though.
Oh, he definitely earned it. You know, he's played really, really well. And, I mean, at this point, we kind of have to bring him back. I mean, otherwise, Rankins and Tyler Davidson, but...
Yeah, well, like you said, we finally have some money. And look, this is what happens when you sign someone to a one-year contract. I mean, it's the player is betting on himself, and good for him. He earned it. Now you say it's going to be expensive. I mean,
and he's going to make his money, and he's not going to play like this again.
Well,
that's usually what happens with these guys. Yeah,
we'll see. But
which may be why they let him go. They may not.
But he definitely looked good this year.
Yeah, no, he's been great, and. Look, our defense has been really good against the run, especially up the middle. You know, the fact that we were able to find production like this, I don't want to see him go anywhere. You know, I mean, you pair him and Rankins together, I like that combo. I don't want to keep it around. I mean, the defense improved to, I think, their 25th, which is pretty much all we've asked. You know, after the last couple of years, it's kind of all we've asked for.
I mean, I think we've asked for Midland.
I mean, we've asked for Midland. They're getting there.
Right.
They definitely...
Well, they're certainly not 25th in points allowed, right? I mean, they've got to be Midland for that.
They may be a little better. Yeah.
And look, I mean, some of the stats, you know, they're passing and this and that are still bad from what we gave up early in the year. But again, we saw big improvements, and all we wanted that to go...
We took a step in the right direction.
Right.
Yeah, and look, if it wasn't for three block kicks, we'd be playing Atlanta for the 2 seed.
Right.
This week.
Considering how much of last football season's podcast episodes were spent bitching about the defense and Rob Ryan, we certainly didn't do that this year.
No. Right. Considering he wasn't on the team, you know. that would have been kind of awkward. But kind of to go along with Look at Them tweets, we're going to have Look at Them Instagram. Keenan Lewis did a live Instagram chat. And there were some things that came out that I thought would be interesting to hear. You know, again, this is from Keenan Lewis, or West Bank, as we call him. He will not sign with Atlanta. His hate is strong. Breeze is the hardest working player he's ever been around. He sleeps at the office and even watches football film from the 80s to help his game. Yeah. He believes Ken Crawley will be a very good player soon. He's not a fan of the cover three defense. Regarding Jarris Bird, he states that it's hard for a player to come back after several major operations and performing at a high level. So maybe that's what we've been getting with Bird. You know, I don't get what I'm saying. He's a hoot at for life. When he's no longer able to play, he'll buy jerseys and tailgate with the rest of the fans.
Hey, all right.
All right, bro, and
you know what? It'd be great to see him. Perhaps I don't know if he's got the skill set, but on you know Fox 8, kind of local, you know,
right,
Ron Kincaid and
right. He considers Bro and Kenny Vaccaro are the truth. I'm not sure what that means. He says no wide receiver has ever gained over 100 yards on him.
Okay, good.
You know, he said he passed
Dalton Lewin there.
Right. He said he passed up a bigger contract to join the Saints, mainly to pay for his play for his home team and to be an inspiration to the youth of the city. I like that. I mean, he's a true he believes black and gold, like, you know, right there. He believes Michael Thomas will be a huge star. We can all agree with that. And
now he's just stating the obvious.
Right. And he admits that Cooks is the only wide receiver he would have trouble with for the Saints. He states that there's no way the Saints would ever trade Cooks. And this, you know, came after, like, we talk about the businessman. But now here is, in my opinion, the biggest reveal. He said he will rejoin the Saints if they want him back. But he would have to have a man-to-man talk with Dennis Allen first.
Wonder what that means.
So, well
that was... But when he got released, there was word that him and Dennis Allen didn't get along.
Exactly. Exactly. Interesting. Interesting. Now, maybe that's I don't know how much cover three we play. Maybe that's the big difference. You know, if he's healthy, you know, he's had a year. You know, I definitely say bring him in for a look.
Yeah,
if he's healthy, I just think with his hip injuries, I don't know that he'll ever play again.
Well, but again, it's been a year, maybe.
After he just said about Bird, same thing for him at this point. He may not be the same guy.
He might not.
He definitely. I mean, we're not getting 2013 Keenan Lewis back. That ain't happening.
I say you take a look.
Oh, it doesn't hurt to take a look. But it is. I'm more interested now in what this man-to-man with Dennis Allen's about.
Yeah, apparently they have personal issues. You know.
Yeah, that's in. Can we bug the room when that happens? Listen in. But all right. Well, good to know that he's that big of a fan and he's that loyal to the team that he would, if he did have an issue with Dennis Allen, that he's saying it. What I'm going to interpret as I'm willing to put that aside and play for this team again.
Well, he's also desperate to get a job again. I mean,
but there are still players out there who would, even in that situation, would be like, yeah, fuck that. They got too much pride.
Man.
No, he realizes his career is over. He wants some more income. He needs a job.
Well, I mean, everybody like that, but he could also go look, you know, look elsewhere.
Well, he did. He went to Pittsburgh. They said, eh.
Why? Because he obviously wasn't fully recovered this year.
Either way,
he obviously wasn't fully
either
recovered.
Way, quit being a cynical on this lovely Christmas season and give the man his credit. He's not a businessman. He's saying the wrong things. Now, Brandon Cooks wouldn't have said that. All right, let's get into Pick'ems.
It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control.
Whew, all right. So we all went 3-2 last week.
Really?
Did we?
I thought we all had a bunch of.
I went 4-1. I thought.
Nope.
You sure about that? You did not.
I am sure.
Miami.
Yes.
Baltimore.
Yes.
Kansas City.
Yes.
San Francisco. I picked San Francisco.
Oh, shit. You're right. You did.
Jesus, Damon, you better keep track of your picks.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. So you two both went 4-1. I went 2-3.
Yeah. Fuck. See how he. This is how.
Wow.
He,
that's a big difference.
This is how he takes the lead, Damon. This is
God damn it.
God. Okay. This. I am.
Jason, we're going to have dinner.
It has to be taken out of Jason's hands. I mean, there's just too many mistakes. I mean, it's time to get rid of him. He's the Rob Ryan of fucking pickle. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
He's the Rob Ryan of Pick'ems.
He's the Pick'ems, Damon, and we fire you.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
All right. So, so as of now, I'm just a game up on the two of you.
All right. And then the big picture, we got Nier still at top. And then Whore Islander, Dad to Twins, Doug, Saints Fan UK, Life of Ty, Jason, Jimbo, Rance, Wheels, Niels, Hoodat, Nutsack, Jeff, Glenn Fitz, Damon, Emmanuel, Hungry Hoodat, Alex Barbie, and Ed Hunt. And if I didn't read your name, it's because you have not played enough games, weeks, to compete for the Premier League.
Say soccer. All right, so now we're on week 17. It's a funky week because you got some teams that clinched. A lot of other teams are out of it. Some teams are going to rest players.
Right.
So it's a funky week with some decent games, but really only one game really, really matters. I mean, in the AFC, all six playoff spots have been decided. We'll start
Green Bay, Detroit.
We'll start with that game. Green Bay at Detroit. Green Bay on a roll. People are starting to talk about them as being the team to watch in the NFC. Detroit kind of stumbling in. Stafford has that finger injury. They had a big loss against Dallas Monday night. This is for the NFC North. And it's interesting, we'll go into with Washington, Green Bay, and Detroit are battling for those last two spots, and Tampa with a really, really outside shot.
Green Bay and Detroit. Right there.
And then Washington. If Washington wins and Green Bay and Detroit don't tie, that means Washington can get in, and then
one of them
Green
will
Bay
go
and Detroit losers, yeah, is that
right? Because Washington has that tie. They have the tie. They have
Right. So Green Bay at Detroit. The Lions are getting 3.5 at home.
Okay. Green Bay at Detroit. And the Lions. And the Lions are getting
3.5. I'll go first. I'll go Green Bay. Detroit gave up so many points to freaking Dallas. And Green Bay's rolling.
And Green Bay is rolling 100%. I'll take Green Bay.
So I'm going to take Detroit.
Oh, all right.
All right.
All right, our next game, New England at Miami. New England, I don't know, did they lock up the number one seed?
I don't think so, Doctor.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, I know Oakland's right there, but Oakland lost their QB, which we'll get to. So New England at Miami, both teams are going to the playoffs. Miami clinched the wild card spot. This game's in Miami, and Miami is getting 9.5.
Motherfucker.
Miami is getting 9?
Getting 9.5 at home, yeah. Miami, of course, coming off that overtime win at Buffalo, which helped get Rob Ryan fired. And Rex Ryan fired.
Miami's playing well.
Miami's competent. I know Tannehill's is still out, but Matt Moore, who's quarterback with him, he's not awful.
That is a stupid spread.
I think how's Miami's defense?
They've been okay. Well, they gave up 30 to Buffalo, but they've been pretty decent this year. No.
All right, I'll go first on this one. I'm gonna take Miami.
I'm going to take Miami also with a 9.5.
I will also take Miami.
Live together, die alone.
All right, our next game, the Oakland Raiders at the Denver Broncos. Oakland coming off a win last week. However, lost Derek Carr to a broken leg. Really brutal break for them. So now they're stuck with Matt McGloin at QB at Denver, whose season is over after losing to Kansas City last week. If Denver beats Oakland and Kansas City beats the Chargers, then Kansas City will win the division and get the 2 seed. As of now, Oakland is in the 2 seed spot.
Okay, I'll go first.
So Denver's favored by 1.5.
A point and a half. I'll take Denver. Oakland's a good team, but look, you can't lose a player like Derek Carr, who he was mentioned for the MVP. Give a rookie a first start on the road in Denver. Tough place to play. Denver still has that great defense. No offense. But at least they're quarterbacks.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Oakland here.
Thank you.
I think they somehow rally behind McGloin, and I think Denver's quit done on the season. The offense hates the defense, or the defense hates the offense because the offense can't score.
Man.
So there are some issues in Denver.
But again, it's a division rival, kind of like the Saints in Atlanta, and Denver would like to shit in Oakland's hat.
Sure they would. Doesn't mean they will.
No, it doesn't mean they will. But my point is that they're not going to give up.
Yeah, I'm going to take Denver in this one.
All right, our next game. Interesting spread here, considering it's a pretty decent game. The New York Giants at the Washington Redskins. Giants have already clinched a playoff spot, and I don't think that their seeding can change.
They're locked into that five seed. Right.
So they could rest guys, although McAdoo said he's going to play his starters. Now, how long they play, I don't know. Against the Redskins, who with the win this week, should make it into the playoffs, assuming Green Bay and Detroit don't tie.
And they're not going to.
So this game is in D.C., and Washington's favored by 8. So Vegas really doesn't think Eli and...
Well, they're thinking they're going to sit, right?
Right, they're thinking they're going to sit.
I think Washington comes out to play, and the Giants are going to be sitting, so I'm actually going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to take Washington with this one.
I am with you, Jeff. I'm going to take Washington also. Go ahead, take the Giants. Go ahead, Jason, take the Giants.
I'm tempted. Dude, Washington's defense is terrible.
Take the Giants, then. Take them.
No.
Be bold.
I'm taking Washington. I've already been bold in other picks. I'll do Washington.
One pick.
I mean, Washington, they can play to win, but they might only win by 3. Field goal at the last minute.
Yeah. Try to get some separation.
Yeah.
7.5 points, 8 points. That's a lot of points to take.
It is. That's all right. I'll stick with it. All right. And now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a...
We've had a common team in the shitty game 2 weeks in a row. The Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. Rams coming off that 1-point loss to San Francisco last week.
Arizona
coming off a nice win at Seattle this week. Maybe against Seattle this week. David Johnson looking to continue his streak. In every game this year, he has had over 100 yards from scrimmage, which is just absurd. He's got 20 touchdowns this year. It's really absurd. This game is in Arizona. Teams have nothing to play for. The Cardinals are favored by 6.
The Rams are a shit show. I will take the Arizona Cardinals.
I will also
make it a 3-way.
I think everyone is going to take Arizona in this one. Which brings us to Saints preview.
Last game in the Georgia Dome.
Take on the fuck the Falcons, Shitlanta, Matty Shitpants, Roddy Whiteless. Falcons. Falcons, I should say.
Last game in the circus tent. Last game. Falcons fighting.
Hey, just because y'all move out of a circus tent doesn't mean you're a bunch of clowns. You're not a bunch of clowns anymore.
No, because now they're moving into a toilet bowl. So Shitlanta is really very adequate. And again, I think a lot of the design of that stadium had to do with their quarterback constantly shitting himself.
Right. The stadium is a microcosm of Ryan. It's a metal asshole.
That's right. They said, well, look, this guy is always shitting himself. What can we do to honor him?
Let's build
his shitty pants.
Maybe at least then we could say he's shit in the toilet.
Well, they probably got a light display on top where when you look at it from overhead, like they got some brown lights on it, and it looks like shit is slowly trickling out.
They definitely should.
Yeah. When the fans do the wave, is it going to look like the swirl that has been flushed?
Yeah, because their fans are that dumb. They should do the wave every game.
So they're going to sit players.
No,
no, no, no, no.
They're fighting for the two seed.
No, that's right.
Oh no, we could really shit in their hat.
Yeah, look, that would be huge because, you know, they'll go from the 2 seed to potentially the 4 seed.
Trust me, these two teams. I mean, this look.
I think a fight's gonna break out on the field.
You gotta hand it to the NFL with the rule change several years ago, where, you know, division games are
at the end
of the season, because, you know, there is a lot less sitting, and Atlanta will not sit anyone. They cannot afford to. And the Saints, like I said, they want to shit in Atlanta's hat, costing them the number 2 seed, meaning that they'll have to play a tough game against the Saints and turn right around 7 days, could be 6 if they get a Saturday game, and play again. Would be wonderful. They lose to us and they lose the following week.
That would be so, I mean, Atlanta.
Well, usually after the Saints do beat the Falcons, they go on a multiple game skid.
Right.
So, if we win, you can almost guarantee they're out the playoffs.
And it would save us from going having a losing season, you know, for three in a row.
Yeah, I mean, look, if the Saints win, they drop from the 2 seed to the 4 seed. Then who do they host in week 1 of the playoffs? The Giants. You know what they did against the Giants in the playoffs a couple years ago?
2 points.
2 points.
2 points. Well, the number 2 is just a common theme with the Falcons.
Right. I could believe that. And look, let's not forget the last time the Saints went 8-8. What happened?
The following year, they won the Super Bowl.
That is correct.
And Breeze threw for 5,000 yards in that season. Remember? He was trying to get the record at the end.
Remember?
He was going to almost pass, you know, looking to pass Marino. There was one last pass at the end of the game that he didn't get. Otherwise, he'd have passed Marino.
Right. Well, he didn't go for the easy pass to pass Marino.
No, I mean, but he was was close. He was right there.
Yeah. So, you know, look, Atlanta, I mean, I haven't watched, I don't watch Atlanta games because I don't like them. But the highlights I've shown, they have definitely been playing well.
No, they haven't. The only thing that scares me, look, Atlanta's the only team that really put it to us this year.
Well, Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Put it to us also. Okay,
yeah. But still, they were one of the games where, like, we just didn't.
Well, we lost by 11 points, right. But remember, we also had the famous kick interference. The punt interfere, we interfered with our own punt.
We also didn't have Rankins in that game.
Right. Bird wasn't playing like he is.
But we did have Fakaro, so.
No, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a close game, like most Atlanta Saints games are, within, you know, a 3 point. I don't even know what the spread for this game?
The spread's like 6.5 or 7.
For Atlanta?
Yeah, Atlanta's
favorite. Oh, put your money on the Saints, people. They're giving money away now.
Yeah, I mean, this game's going to be a field goal game. The Saints are 7-3 in the Georgia Dome since 2006.
Right.
Yeah, smart money would be on the Saints. It should be a close game. And look, I think we'll go in there. And as much as it'll ruin our draft spot, I would love to keep Atlanta from that 2 seed.
And send them into the playoffs on a loss to the Saints. Just the morale.
And just, I also don't want to be the 2 seed because this playoffs, you got Dallas, 1 seed, fuck Dallas. I don't want Atlanta as a 2 seed, and then Seattle is
possibly
a 3 seed. It's like
the Saints fans.
Right. I mean, all these teams are just.
The only thing that would make it worse is if San Francisco somehow was.
Somehow didn't only have 2 weeks,
right?
Yeah, right.
But look, I don't see Atlanta getting past. Look, like you said, Green Bay is playing phenomenal. That's who I think will win the North. I don't see them getting past Green Bay. I don't see them getting past Dallas. And Seattle, as much as I dislike them, is a tough playing son of a bitch. And then, like you said, even the Giants are just one of those teams, they just do it quietly, you know? They just do it quietly.
Look, they made a lot of improvements, free agency, you know, improved their defense. I mean, Eli had a stink bomb game last game they played, but the defense is still there, so they can always put together.
Right. But But we're back to the Saints-Atlanta game. Like I said, this game, you know, this game means a lot to the Saints on a pride level. So they will be playing hard. They will, you know, this game, look, like Tampa Bay, they're not going to, you know, they're not coming in there laying down.
No, look, they got, they're going to get Breeze's 5,000 yards. Ingram's only 60-something yards away from 1,000 yards. They interviewed Streep this week, and Streep's like, yeah, we know Ingram's not that far away from 1,000. So, look, this game definitely means a lot to go out on top, even though the season's over, to finish with a win. Right. You know, Peyton said this week, you know, he likes, I mean, I know they said it last year too, but they like the makeup of the team. And even, look, they're not that far away from being good. Like we said, three block kicks and you know, without those, and they're playing just for the two seed right now.
Right. We're almost a 10-6 team ourselves, you know.
Even with all the injuries in the defensive backfield and arms standing out.
Right. No, I mean, this is just a very important game for the morale of the Saints and everything for Atlanta. So, like I said, I think we'll definitely come out there and be competitive and be going for their throat.
Right. People need to show up to say, I want to be on this team next year, too. You know, if you knew Sean Payton doesn't like a quitter.
Right.
No, especially with
this is the first all the injuries game of next year.
Look, all the kind of backups that have been playing, you know, Webb and Moore and all these guys, they're definitely fighting for jobs.
That's right.
Right. And the Saints can definitely afford, you know, if you're a player, you can afford that extra hit, play a little harder, because you unfortunately don't have anything to play for next week. You don't have to save anything in the tank.
Right. When you've got.
This game was flexed to 3:30, so this is, what, 3-4 weeks in a row we've had a 3:30 game?
Yeah.
Good, we're used to it.
Yeah. We're drinking time.
That's right. All right, and so I'm going to give a score prediction there for both of you.
Oof. I'm going to go with 45, Falcons 37.
Wow.
That's a very good. I'm going to go Saints 49.
Woo!
Falcons 38.
I'm going to go 34-32, Saints.
So the Falcons fail a two-point conversion at the end?
I don't know. All I'm going to say is it's 2 points, and it's 1 point, and it's in the 30s. I think 40 is too high.
Oh, well, with the Falcons involved, it always comes down to 2 points.
That's right. It should be, 31-34.
No. Right. But again, like Jason said, I mean, this game, if we win this game, and Tampa Bay loses to Carolina. Now, I don't really have a feeling about that game. I think, you know, I think Carolina might win. I think they're that puts us from third in the West. I mean, third in the South to second. You know,
I don't really like that. I'd rather play.
Right. Tampa Bay win.
Right. I definitely want Tampa to win. I'd rather
help our draft pick.
It would help our draft pick. Right. I'd rather play the Rams and the Redskins instead of the Cardinals and the Giants.
Right. And that's what it would be. Right. If we fall to number three, those two teams that we, you know, I don't know what you call them, the flex, or, you know, that you play in the NFC in your position. Right.
Well, say that you don't want to play them. That's based on this year. Those teams could be completely different teams next year.
The Rams, no. The Rams.
Right, not the Rams, right.
Not the Rams.
I want to play the Rams all day. Every day. Give me the Rams.
Right, for the next several years. Yeah, the Rams are yes.
All right. Let me bring that to final thoughts there, Jason. And are you
going
to share the final thought here?
Yeah, look, I'll bring up a final thought. So, as the Saints game ended, I didn't see it at the time, but on Twitter, the video came up of Tom Benson celebrating the game like the Saints had won a playoff game. It was a meaningless football game. Our season's over. But he celebrated. Oh, hold on. Let me finish. But he celebrated like it was the greatest thing in the world. And then even after the game, he went in the media room while Peyton was giving his press conference and said, yeah, great coach. Good job, coach. Good job. He's so excited for a meaningless victory. It's like, shit, I wish he could give any kind of reaction when the Pelicans win a meaningless game. Just anything.
Well,
and it just goes to show.
Well, there's 100 of them.
There's a hundred of them. I get it, but look. You're happy to win, fine, but that Saints game meant nothing.
You need to get that chip off your shoulder for the Pelicans.
Yeah, you really do. I mean,
all I'm saying is, let me finish my goddamn fucking final thought. Jesus Christ.
Well, but it's stupid, and we have to help.
The Saints game meant nothing. It meant nothing. Yeah, you win, okay, great. But Benson looked like he was 80 years old, not 90. Like, I haven't seen the man move around like that. Hold on, let me finish.
You're saying the same thing. Say something new. Say something new. Say something new, stupid.
It goes to show the difference in attitude that this regime has towards the two franchises, and I just don't think it's a good thing for the Pelicans. They obviously... Now, look, I get Saints and football is more important here. I get that. But in order to be successful, that just showed a lot to me, and I don't like it.
I know you wish that, but I don't think that's going to happen, Jason, because of he's got many, 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 many years invested in the Saints.
Okay, but he owns... They're both sports franchises.
They're both
professional sports franchises. To the people of Louisiana, I get the Saints more important. There's no doubt about that.
It's just
but, I mean,
history.
Jesus Christ, dude, you own that franchise.
I think it has nothing to do with football being more important, which it is.
Not football, but the Saints.
Well, the Saints, but also it's 80 games. It's 82 games. I'm just saying you don't get a guy. You don't get that excited over.
Just clap then. He probably didn't even get excited for playoff. Just clap. Just do something. But to celebrate a meaningless. I mean, the game was completely meaningless for the Saints. To celebrate that much,
I'm glad to see it rubbed me the wrong. I'm just glad to see that he could stand up. And that he could at least cheer, even if he's mistook it for a playoff game and got excited. I'm glad to see that he's got that in him.
Yeah, it just so many games. Again, at the NBA, I don't.
And I really think the whole coming into the press conference saying "good game, coach" is not about the meaningless game. It was more in response to the clickbait bullshit that people were linking him to other jobs. Him coming in and reinforcing to the media that there is not a story here. There is not a coaching controversy. We're not considering trading him. He is still our coach. He's got the 5-year extension, and he's going to be here for that time.
I agree with that, too.
Sean Payne's our coach. Get used to it.
Say something funny, Wendy. We can't wait.
I'm not funny.
Hey, girls are funny, Wendy, okay? Get over it. Just do women's comedy stuff. You know, talk about how fat you are and how you want to have sex with guys and then say, my vagina, a lot.
I don't feel like being funny right now.
And that's just the kind of sexist bullcrap that's going to keep you in the kitchen. Sit your ass down.
Or it also shows being happy at mediocrity the last 3 years.
Sean Payton's funny. Get used to it.
Let's see what you
All right, Damon, final thought.
After that stupid thought, hold on. Yeah. I got some good final thoughts for the end of the year. End of the year. Try to help people. Give them some lessons, some life lessons. Never fry bacon shirtless. That is a good life lesson. Okay? And we all know that there's more than one way to skin a cat. But always make sure you knock out the cat first. Because those little bastards have claws and they will fight you like a motherfucker. So if you're going to skin a cat, knock it out. And then I have a question. You know how when your wife or your girlfriend gets pregnant, all the friends come and rub her belly and say congratulations? But nobody rubs your dick and says good job. Right? Jeff, I mean, you have two children,
yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Anybody congratulate you, rub your dick, you know?
Nope, they, just me.
Yeah, well.
All right. Anything left in the tank there?
Well, I mean, I was going to ask about his Christmas. What did you get your significant other, your wife, girlfriend?
No, I got some nice clothes and a nice gift certificate for a massage place.
Okay, that's what you gave her?
Yeah.
Oh, did it come with a happy ending?
No, it's not Bangkok Spa.
Oh, okay. Bangkok. Funny you know the name of the spa, though.
I've heard things.
Interesting.
I've heard things.
I heard things.
Heard things.
I got mine a you know, some jewelry, and then an Amazon Echo Dot.
The
Alexa.
I like that. Those look nice. Those look nice.
Oh yeah, what'd you get your boyfriend, Dave?
I got her a pair of slippers and a dildo.
Why'd you get her a dildo?
Because she didn't like the slippers, she'd go fuck herself.
All right. Well, I've got a final thought before we close the show. I'm surprised neither of you brought this up, but Carrie Fisher died in between last show and this show, and especially since we did an hour on Star Wars last week. Thought maybe a little mention of that. And then come to find out, during the recording of our show tonight, I caught a news alert that her mom, Debbie Reynolds, died just now, today.
She did pass away?
Yep.
Yeah.
I knew she had a stroke. I didn't realize she passed.
Yep. Yeah, I knew she rushed to the hospital, and then while we recorded, Renee came to tell me she died. I'm like, dude, 2016 just isn't letting up.
Wow.
I mean, like, yeah, George Michael on, what, Christmas Eve?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, but
we kind of thought Fisher was, you know, she had the heart attack on the plane, but then she was in the hospital. You thought, all right, well, maybe she'll be okay. She'll pull
through.
Well,
because they had put out some tweets that she was stable and all right, but come to find out, she never regained consciousness from the heart attack.
Well, the tweets were probably rushing to be first rather than accurate, you know.
Yeah, well, I can't believe Debbie Reynolds. I mean, how sad is that?
Just brutal, man.
Do you think this many people, I don't want to say celebrity, but usually die in a year, except we're just more, it's a bigger deal now because it's... The 70s and 80s is whenever it started. You started to have a lot more, and more people were...
I don't know that it's... I think the number's probably the same, but I think the star power of the people who did die this year really...
But I guess what I'm saying is there's a lot more stars... They're getting of that age to where it's bigger. They will have more star power. Every year you're going to have bigger star power because when somebody from the 60s and 50s died in the 70s, 80s, it wasn't as, or 80s, 90s, I should say, it wasn't as star powerful because Hollywood was still coming
Jeff, I'll make this. Maybe those people didn't mean as much to us.
Right. That too.
And now these people are people that we know and remember and grew up. And it's like, oh, no, you know, Princess Leia, you know.
And the social media sphere, it's now in the past when somebody famous would die. You just were like, oh, wow, that person died. And you and your three friends talked about it. Now it's epic. Everybody's got to change their Facebook status about it.
You know, George Michael, I mean... You know, all going all the way back to Wham. I remember listening, you know, the man.
Wham or Wham?
Wham.
What'd you say?
You can't have a pie without Cool Whip.
Cool Whip?
Cool Whip, yeah.
You mean Cool Whip?
Yeah, Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're saying it weird. Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
What are you talking about? I'm just saying it. Cool Whip. You put Cool Whip on pie. Pie tastes better with Cool Whip.
Say whip.
Whip.
Now say Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're eating hair.
But no, but, you know, George Michael was a tremendous artist. I remember the 90s. I mean, he put out so many great songs.
Yeah.
You know.
I still remember that Freedom video.
Oh, that Freedom with all supermodels. Yep. Greatest music video ever. If you're a young fan and haven't seen it, go to YouTube and George Michael Freedom.
Yeah.
Great video. And a very good song. And so anyway, yeah, God bless them and God bless their family. You know, this time, you know, it's tough. Look, when I lost
my
dad.
3-4 days left.
When I lost my dad, it was December 19th of, you know, 2005. You know, that was it's tough to lose people, you know.
That was a tough year.
Right at the holiday. Yeah, you know. And that was the same year for us down here, you know. Personally, you know, again, my mom had had the stroke and the heart attack with the wheelchair. Then Katrina hit, you know. And then lost my dad in December. It was 2005 was really shit.
Yeah. Well, here's to 2017 being a better year for everybody.
Yeah, looking forward to 2017.
Right, and that's all the show we have for you for 2016. This is our last show of the year. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Princess Leia.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.